Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. My very special guest today is a very talented man, not just a bass player, an artist on the bass, and just a musical artist extraordinaire. And you've seen his work, and we were just talking off mic on Wasted, the band Wasted, but certainly UFO fans know this man very well. Pete Way. Pete, how are you?
I'm fine, Frank, actually. That was a very eloquent introduction you gave me. I thought I must be in One Direction or something like that.
Well, let's talk about these boy bands. I can't imagine you're a big fan of any of the boy bands. Is that accurate?
I think you could probably safely say that. No, I'm not.
Are you listening to anything new? Or do you listen to traditional?
I get asked that, and I find myself, to be truthful, anything that's new that comes along, I find myself really comparing it to stuff that I grew up with. And really, if it's good, it sounds like somebody I used to buy when I was a kid.
Well, I'm stuck in the same place. I'm starting to think more and more that there are so many less rock bands coming out, and you are. I don't want to say you because you're such a young guy, but the generation before you, the guys in the Kinks, you know, when I talk to a guy like Dave Davies and I talk to people like that, I start thinking, you know, and maybe again, maybe I'm getting older, or maybe I'm getting more pretentious, but I'm starting to think it's important to document what they're saying, because they're not making any more guys like him and you. And quite frankly, you know, rock and roll and hard rock, it's just not what it used to be.
Well, to be honest with you, I actually think exactly the same. And it's not because you're interviewing me and I want you to be pleased with my answer, but I find it very difficult to get inspiration from anything else, really. You know, I virtually go back in time. Actually, I go back very much in time. Not well, you mentioned the Kinks there and bands like that. It's almost like you've got to dig out where they came from, which, of course, sometimes goes back to the blues and things like that, which takes you to your Led Zeppelins, which was based on a sort of initially blues. So, yeah, I mean, where does it all come from, you know?
Well, who's the first band that really hit you? Who was your the first band that once you heard them, you said, I'm going to get a guitar, I'm going to get a bass?
I think it was around about the Kinks era, actually, the Who, Stones, of course. I like the Beatles, so a little bit too pop for me, actually. I think it was going back in those days, it was like you like the Stones or you like the Beatles and that sort of thing. I tend to find my own favourites, you know, sort of in between that, you know. Stones, of course, have always kept me there, you know.
If you're just joining us, this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, we're speaking to Pete Way, who is a bassist extraordinaire, a musician extraordinaire, and you know his work from UFO and Wasted, and you spent a little time with Ozzy. I know Wasted toured with Ozzy way, you know, probably, what is that, 1988 or something? Was that 88 or 89?
I really don't know the year, actually. Remember, we don't talk about years because I'm still 15.
you ever feel like that? You ever feel like Peter Pan? You
know, honest with you, yeah.
You do?
You know, I talk to people and they look at me as if there's something wrong with me when I go, yeah, but if you listen to so-and-so album, and they go, what, who? And you go, Yeah, but you've got to. That's where it all came from.
it's a Peter Pan type world you chose. I mean, do you ever think, or did you ever think, what you'd be doing if you didn't do this?
Good question, actually, because I was so single-minded, I think is the word, that once I made that decision that we were going to be popular, nothing else would let it get in my way, you know. So even if I got, you know, President of the United States, I'd still want to be number one in the album charts. Haven't actually reached that point yet, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point in your career, do you lay out goals, or are you the type of guy that never laid out goals and you kind of went with the flow?
I always thought that we had high expectations. I'm not saying that we were confident with high expectations, but we always looked at other bands and thought we want to be like them. So eventually become like them, if you know, in popularity, and then you go, well, that's that goal done. And then I guess like every pop artist, as a top 10 single, you go, well, I might get number one, or my next one's going to be number one, that sort of thing. It's once you get a taste, you never lose the taste.
I mentioned to you off mic that we met years ago, and it was probably around that time period that we said, I know we're not talking dates here, but that late 80s period. And my impression, and my brother was with me at the time, and we had a newspaper called Network. And it was like after Fastway and Wasted was there. And
I remember going to Long Island, actually, but I can't remember. I was looking for the Amityville House of Horror, actually.
Yeah, it's still there. It just looks much different than what it is. But my impression of you, and I thought you were the greatest guy, and you know, we loved your music, and you know, not that you were a businessman, so to speak, but we thought you were like an ambitious guy. We thought that you were, you know, very conscientious about what you were doing, even though you were relaxed and you were easygoing. But we saw you as an ambitious guy. Do you see yourself?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Frank.
That's okay.
The reason being is that I left UFO and I started Wasted, and obviously you've given me the opportunity to go on tour, so we're getting to play some big gigs, and so you would be ambitious because you're ambitious for everybody in the band as well as myself. Because I had a very major point to prove, you know.
Yeah, well, and ambitious, in my word, in my mind, is not a bad thing. I mean, ambition is, everybody in every successful band, there's somebody in that band that's kind of like a leader, that's looking out for the, you know, I don't want to say the business interest, but they're driving it, they're the engine. Have you been that in most of your bands?
Not so much in UFO. UFO was very much how can I put it, really? It was a chemistry that went
teamwork
with everybody. And, of course, there were people that were leaders, but I think we're all kind of leaders, really, you know. And you go on to Wasted, of course. I've got to be the captain of the ship because, really and truly, it was me that was working with the record company and put the band together. So I had a big responsibility, not only for me and the band, but also for the people that decided to put their faith in me and put the money into it. Because, as probably everybody knows if who's got a band that goes touring, there's it needs to have money behind it. So you've got to convince the people that are giving you the money that they're getting the value, you know.
If you're just joining us, you're just tuning in, this is Frank McKay, and more importantly, Pete Way, bass player Pete Way, a wonderful musician and a very talented guy. You know him from UFO, Wasted, Fastway, Michael Schenker Group, right? How long did you play with Michael Schenker?
Oh, God, Michael was 17, actually. I was 21 or 20, and so obviously Michael was like the youngster, and Scorpions actually were opening for us in Europe, and for whatever reason, the guitar player that we had at the time, Bernie Marsden, he'd lost his passport, which meant you couldn't travel anywhere, or he was somewhere at his house. And anyway, so we just asked the Scorpions if we could borrow their guitarists, because the promoter said, look, there's going to be trouble unless somebody plays. So he said, oh, well, can we borrow your lead guitar player, please, to Rudolph? And that was it. So Michael came and played for about three shows. Bernie came back and went off and did his thing sometime later at the end of the tour. And then Michael stayed with us, and we went on to write some pretty decent records.
Yeah, well, no question about that. I mean, you guys...
CDs, I should be saying, shouldn't I now?
I don't even know if it's CDs anymore. It's downloads. It's a different business. It is, and unfortunately, well, actually, I should say fortunately, in some ways you were blessed by timing. You sold, you know, the height of your records at a time before people could actually pirate the music. And
yeah, probably so, actually. Yeah,
that's a very nice thing. Let me ask you something, if you don't mind. Let's do a little bit of your history. And I'm curious as anything. Where were you born, and where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in North London, actually, which is pretty much where Andy and Phil came from. And as you know, it was a four-piece for quite some time.
Yeah.
With Michael, you know, the final version on the guitar. So it was North London and Germany, well, actually Hanover. And I actually was born in Enfield, North London. I can give you, I haven't got any maps or anything I can say over the phone, but I'm sure it can be found on the internet or with your... I'm sure there's something there, you'd be able to find it, and I could probably tell you my parents' house, but...
Google Maps somewhere. But what about your parents? What did they do? Were there any musicians out of the two?
You know, I mean, it's almost like... my parents weren't actually musicians. In fact, actually, they'd been in the military during the Second World War, and then sometime afterwards, you know, they got married, usual sort of thing, and I came along. But there's always one that, as we became more and more successful, they'd be like, oh, your Aunt Sally was in the theatre, or your Uncle Tom was in the church choir, but nothing quite like me, you know.
Your father was a military guy. Now, a lot of people that weren't military types had to serve during the World War II.
Well, that's right. We didn't have much point. Otherwise, they'd have been. It wouldn't have needed to go to Hanover again,
yeah.
Michael. He'd have been around the house.
He would have been marching with them or something. It would,
yeah.
It would be ruling North London. But
yeah, no.
So they had to do what they had to do. But was your dad a military type? Was he a strict?
Not really, no. You know, strictish, but they very much were right behind the band. They could somehow or other they saw something in it, and so therefore they were always there, like getting a lift to rehearsals and helping me pay for amplifiers, things like that. As they did with all the band, actually, and all the band's parents in the same way. I mean, when I talk about that, I mean, Andy and Phil, there was a lot of enthusiasm for it because I think we were living what they couldn't do because during wartime and afterwards, that would have been a dream, you know, to be able to go on from there, but obviously the straightforward job brought home the bacon. We were allowed to have live in Never Neverland. Mm.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering who you're listening to, this is Frank McKay, but you're wondering who the British guy is, it's Pete Way, and he's just a fantastic musician, and he's seen it
absolutely
all.
Brilliant.
Brilliant musician. I stand corrected. Brilliant musician. And you know his bass work from UFO and a little bit with Ozzy. I mean, how long did you spend with Ozzy?
Actually,
a couple of shows?
More time in the pub than I actually did any rehearsals.
Yeah.
Shows were, you know, sort of hour and a half, that sort of thing. It was quite a short-lived time, but that's why Wasted got on the Aussie tour of the United States, which was came at the right time. You know, probably a little bit too much for Wasted at the time because we hadn't been able to build up a following, really. And I was still probably suffering a bit from the fact that there were certain people that would much rather see me be playing with UFO, but that was another situation in itself. So I, like always, I just try and make the best music I possibly can.
Now, you mentioned Ozzy in the pubs. I mean, he's a historic partier, and he doesn't hide it. You saw it on his reality show. Were you a viewer of his reality show? Did you ever watch any of that?
Yeah, I've seen bits of it. I mean, I've lived it. My God, I've known him for since he was in Black Sabbath. So you know, when he was down to his bus fare, that sort of thing. When he was starting out his solo stuff, before the first album came out, so obviously you get quite tight with people. I like to think that I'm friends with somebody when they're up, I'm friends with somebody when they're down. Possibly, being shallow, I'm even better friends when they're on the up.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt to have friends that are doing well. So that's
no, I do. I'm lucky enough to have friends that actually say to me that I was a great influence on them, and I don't know where that comes from, drinking or drugs or what, but great influence on them, and therefore they wouldn't be what they are today without me or perhaps UFO. You know, it's nice to have it. I just want to be able to spread my influence and my likes, which we discussed earlier. I don't really know where they come from now. We were talking about the Kinks. I mean,
yeah.
That's one of the bands that possibly influenced me. I mean, I don't know if I've rewritten the a Kinks record or something like that, or a Who record or Stones, but you know, you probably find that Van Halen might have done that, or you know, the Motley Crue or something like that, you know.
We got about a minute left in this segment. Pete, do we have you for a second segment?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So
I'm sitting. I've got a phone.
All right. You're not going anywhere, but you are 5 hours ahead of us. I got to remind you.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're an early bird, though, I got to say. I'm going to remind everyone that this is Frank McKay, and you are listening to Pete Way of UFO and all types of... and again, he points out that he spent more time in the pubs with Ozzy than actually on stage. And I have to believe you there, Pete. I would...
in the nicest possible manner.
Yes.
Sharon actually was... would call me and go, make sure he's back by such and such time. And I'd go, got to leave now. Then he'd go, you must be joking. That sort of thing. I go, what you mean? Well, shouldn't we be getting back? Because Sharon said, who cares what she says?
Yeah, right. And until he's in front of her, and then she looks like she puts the hammer down. Hey,
look,
we're coming.
I've seen the Prince of Darkness turn to jelly. Trust me.
We're coming up on a break. Pete Way is our guest. This is Frank McKay. We will be right back. I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, and I am with, I am told, legendary bass player. Brilliant.
Incredible songwriter, great six-string player, incredible bass player, man that...
Ozzy's drinking babysitter, Pete Way. But let's go back to that. Right before the break, you're telling me that Sharon would say, hey, make sure you have him back. And you say, come on, Oz, we gotta go. And he says, oh, I don't care what she says. What if she was standing right there? Would he say that?
Well, as I said, I've actually been with the Prince of Darkness and watch him turn into the Prince of Jelly. So I'm not going to be too personal, Bowsy, because there is a time when a wife can be a little bit stronger than the man himself. Don't forget, it's all image, all of us.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And we all talk big when the wives aren't around, and then they snap their fingers and we...
Yeah, he's a lovely man. Very good friends. Obviously, unfortunately, he lives over in California. I'm over in England. Don't get to see him very often. If I do, it's always talking about old times, you know. Really, same old thing, isn't it? You know, you talk about good times or who's passed away since we last met. That type of thing, you know.
You seem like a type of guy, and you've always seemed like the type of guy, and it's well known that you are a good time guy. You're a partier. Who do you see off? Who are you friendly with over there in North London or wherever you are now?
To be honest with you, I don't see too many people.
Only on tour? On tour, you?
No, on tour. I haven't been on tour for about two, three years. I actually, unfortunately, got prostate cancer, so I had to take a year off. And
how is it going?
Rid of it.
You're in remission?
Oh yeah, no, it's 0.1 chance of it coming back.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, because I was actually recording a solo album, and unfortunately, by chance, had a checkup. And, actually, I might as well use this because I'm an ambassador for prostate cancer. They found a little bit of blood in my pee, which they said, right, they scanned me and found that I did have a prostate cancer, and they got rid of it. It took me quite a while, and it completely threw out my schedule for the solo album. But, of course, the schedules get thrown out the window when medical reasons come into being, you know.
Now, this is not... It's not a rhetorical question, because a lot of people act differently in those kind of circumstances, but what was your initial reaction to it? I mean, did you sober up, like, immediately and say, wow, I got to do this right away?
Well, put it like, it didn't... it was nothing to do with alcohol. It was just...
No. I didn't mean that. I meant, did you take it dead serious? I mean, it's cancer, right? I mean, somebody tells me I have cancer, I stop what I'm doing and I go listen to whatever the hell the doctor's telling me. Right? Was that...
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, but I very much take life as it comes. And because I was having to have this radiation therapy down under, fortunately I was able to keep my hair. They did it to get rid of it. That was like 2 months on its own. I suddenly saw another side to life, because I suddenly became the life and soul of the cancer ward waiting room. So I actually, people were waiting for me to come down because I tended to make them laugh. And I must have been the only person, I think, that started hiding beers in the toilet of the hospital in the waiting room of the cancer ward.
Wow. Did anybody catch you doing that?
Yeah, I just... honest with you, the doctors couldn't care less. I actually bought a bottle of champagne on the day I finished, and it was a bit like, that's all right. I was, somebody else bought one as well. You know, so it was more like actually, I turned it into more of a party than I actually did. We're going to sit around and be miserable. If I'm going to be taken away by the good Lord, or God knows, or the good Lord Satan, then I was going to go laughing.
Well, if you're just tuning in now, this is Frank McKay, and my very special guest is Pete Way. And
incredible guitarist, incredible bass player, incredible songwriter, great voice, and also a great interviewee.
No doubt, and a cancer survivor. On a very serious note, a prostate cancer survivor. That's a big thing, man. It sounds like you handled it well, and as well as you can possibly. And sound.
Well, you either handle it well or you're dead, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I got to say one thing about your generation, and you're in the same generation I am, basically. You know, you're a little older than me. I'm 47, yeah. You know, but your generation of musicians, and you guys are partiers and whatever, we lost less people to drugs and to alcohol, even though we lost a lot of folks. But back in the 60s and the early 70s, you lost all of these big time stars right away. You know, a lot of you guys, you lasted a lot longer than a lot of people would have thought. I mean, you know, you party so hard you know, whatever, but something happened between the 60s and the 70s and now, and I would say the 80s and the 90s, where people either, you know, understood their partying more, or they were, you know, partying more responsibly. I don't know. I mean, what is it?
I don't know. Must have been good at it. That's all I can think. I don't know. I mean, in a way, it wasn't so much partying hard. It was more actually just basically locking myself in a room with maybe another couple of members of the band and that, and using certain substances that we could have been whisked off to jail for if we were caught by the security. That sort of thing, you know. So it wasn't so much, you know, used to drink and used certain substances that, I don't know, perhaps I regret now. And perhaps you'd say, well, that was an experience. Some people, it's a bit like binge drinking, I would say, you know. Some people get caught out by it. They don't have their regular drinks or drugs or something like that, and suddenly they do it, and they have one night, and the next minute they're dead. You know, so it's has its ups and downs in a way. You know,
have you ever, and pardon my ignorance on this, but have you ever lost a band member to drug abuse or alcohol abuse? I don't think so, right?
I've lost a lot of friends.
Friends, but not band members. Yeah. Not a band member.
No member of UFO, actually, you know. There's been friends in other bands that, got caught out. But, you know, you never see it coming because sometimes it can be everybody else thinks you're overdoing it and you never know you're overdoing it, you know. So at the moment, I don't really... party or anything like that. It's not really like that. I'm very private, actually. Mm. So if I was going to use, then I would be doing it privately. But at the same time, due to the fact that I have to take still some stuff from the cancer recovery, I get to the point where I'm fed up with taking stuff.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's that's to be foremost on your mind. If you're just joining us, once again, the extraordinary, the legendary Pete Way of UFO. That's not strong enough. I got to go even stronger.
Oh dear, you think it was Elvis?
Yeah, it goes without saying It goes without saying how extraordinary this guy is. This is Frank McKay, which is much much less important. And Pete Way is my very special guest. You know him from UFO, and you know him from his wonderful work out there. And what about touring? Do you miss touring at all? Are you looking to get out there?
Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be great, actually, particularly doing a solo album where I'm going to go in between playing bass guitar and not playing bass guitar. Reason being that the whole solo album is virtually like a life story, you know. So each song has its own part in the book, so to speak.
Have you thought about a book or anything? Have you done a book?
No, I haven't. Closest I've come to anything like a book would be some interviews that have actually really asked me questions, and I've told them reality in the answers, which in many ways, Frank, I prefer not to, because I wouldn't say I've been embarrassed. That was just the lifestyle that I had at the time, you know. Well, gigantic amount of drugs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever have any close calls, I mean, beyond the cancer? Did you have any moments where you were just like, wow?
Several times when I thought that, oh, hang on, I think my heart might be going, or, you know, so you got me there, haven't you? I've opened a can of worms, as they say. No, I actually had to have a lot of my veins removed because I destroyed them from injecting into them, things like that, you know, morphine and heroin, a huge amount of cocaine. So if you want a hole in your nose, then go in that direction. But anyway, I don't think I'm going to talk anymore. I'll leave you with that lovely scenario.
Yeah, don't worry. We can change the subject. But listen, we appreciate sharing with that, but... Getting back to the music, let's get back to your music. You have a new project. You have the solo project coming out. Just tell us about that, and tell us who else is involved in this.
This well, actually, producing it is Mike Clink, who did Guns N' Roses, and kindly, because when I was ill, I put the initial ideas down. Slash, I believe, is putting some bits and pieces on, and Nikki Six has shown interest to put some bass repairs or put some bass on, because at the time, like I say, it's like writing a book. You know, the last thing I really wanted to do was practice my scales and things like that on the bass or six string. I wrote it all on six string, but I did it with a partner of mine from Wasted, actually, a newcomer to Wasted, Jason Paul, who, if I needed a little bit of, you know, bounce back ideas, I'd say that I've got these four chords. I'm a bit stuck, throw something in and see what I can do with it, that sort of thing, you know? And then, of course, it's when Mike got hold of it, God knows, I hadn't heard it yet, what Mike's done, because he's in California. So I've been sending a lot of stuff over to California, and Mike came over to England, and we recorded in sunny Yorkshire at the time, and it was great, you know?
Do you have a home studio? Are you into Pro Tools or Cubase or?
Don't mention Pro Tools. That's the only thing Mike Clink will use.
Yeah.
Not quite sure. You know, it's a bit like, oh, don't worry about him. He's useless. Oh, these Pro Tools will make him sound good.
Yeah. Everybody's using Pro Tools. Everyone has a you know, but not everyone.
So I hear.
Yeah.
No, I don't actually. I don't have a home studio, actually. I've just recently been divorced, so there's quite a lot of
she took the studio?
Evil involved there.
You didn't lose the studio in the divorce?
No, but I lost a house and that sort of thing. You know, it's every man's dream. Actually, to be honest, it was my first wife. So, you know, if you're going to give them away, you might as well give them away as many as possible.
Yeah. Oh. If you're just tuning in once again, or if you're just turning on the radio, this is Frank McKay with the extraordinary musician, six-string bassist, extraordinary.
Just risen from the grave.
Has risen from the, has survived it all. They took veins out of him. They did everything. They take his house away, and he's still ready to go. He could take a licking and keep on ticking. A Pete Way of UFO and Wasted and Fast Way and whatever. Everything. Ozzy, a little bit of Ozzy.
Yeah, and there's Frank from a junior magazine, junior newspaper.
Yeah.
Who's made good and almost runs his own music empire.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I feel like
he's an
emperor.
Rock and roll empire.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I don't know if there's such a thing as a music empire anymore. I think you saw that in your career. You saw Ozzy have a music empire, or Sharon have a music empire. And,
yeah.
And you yourself, you had it. But, I mean, you know, those were the days. I mean, you're talking about the 80s and the 90s, and those were the height. That was the height of people making a lot of money with this type of thing. And you know, you lived it.
No, actually, to be honest, Frank, I'll interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
That's where people had a lot of very good advances, because record companies were able to judge the amount of money they'd get by the amount of albums that went in the shops, whether they sold them or not, even if they were hyped into the charts. These days, it's very much a reality that if you want to get in the charts, you don't need to sell that many records whatsoever to get in the record sales charts. But the download charts is something that I think record companies are very much aware of now. And yes, artists make quite a bit of money out of the download charts. So I can't possibly say how much I make or lose on that. But, you know, it keeps sticking over, thank God, you know.
We have about 3 minutes left with Pete Way. Pete, give us a website that people... do you have a website that you can point people to?
I certainly do. It's called the Pete Way Official.
All right, the Pete Way Official.
Actually, PeteWayOfficial.com.
And who
might be UK, I'm not actually sure, because I do go on it and I answer questions on it, because... really and truly, I like to keep up to date with what people think, and also I'm inspired by what people think, and I want to thank them for it, you know.
So people are actually talking to Pete Way when they email you. It's not like somebody's pretending.
They are, as I'm not the greatest of typists, I'm asked what I think, because it's easier for me to be asked and somebody that can type quickly, rather than me go letter by letter.
Yeah. I've gotten much faster as a typist, but I've never been. I'm on a little iPhone, you know. I never even use the computer anymore. You're in front of a laptop or something? Is that what you usually do?
Well, right at the moment, actually, I'm in front of the laptop right at the moment, but I'm in front of the landline phone at the moment.
Yeah. You still have a landline phone? Yeah, actually, we do, too. We hardly use it.
Yeah, to be honest with you, doing something like this is far easier, because you get much clearer line.
Yeah, we appreciate it. The last guest we had, they were kind of noisy, and we could tell he was on a cell phone.
To be honest with you, I don't want to have to walk 5 yards to the left and then 6 to the right to get in the right signal, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have about a minute left. What do you want to leave us with? Tell us again about the where people could look out and get the solo record, and what else you're going to be doing. 2015.
Well, it won't be finished till January now. For various technical reasons, it's taken a while, and obviously I've told you about the prostate cancer, which is a very good excuse for saying, yes, it's taking one hell of a long time.
Mm. It's all right. Listen, it's all right. Get healthy. You know, it's not like you got to rush this out. I know people are waiting and people are, you know, health's more important.
Elias, I'm a lucky man. Just if my last words are to say to your listeners that do have a checkup because it is worth it. And if you're around 50 mark or perhaps even younger, you know, you never know. You quite often find out it's runs in the family. And I'd love to talk to you about drugs and how many lines I did and how many ounces or anything like that, but I'd rather leave it on that note.
We'll use our imagination. We'll use our imagination, and I think everybody can do that.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Let's talk when the album comes out.
My bank manager, and he'll be able to tell you how many lines I did.
We're going to talk to you for a part two when this album comes out, Pete. Mike Klink from Guns N' Roses fame is
actually,
the producer.
I can get Mike on the phone, actually. You'd be able to talk to him, but I'm not sure if he'd be very keen because he's probably trying to pretend that he's working really hard on my album.
Pete Way, the very entertaining, the legendary bass player from UFO, and you've seen him in the pubs with Ozzy. Risen from the grave.
Elvis.
They can't kill him no matter what they do. Pete, thanks for being here. You're the best, man.
Thanks for giving me such an enjoyable interview, Frank.
You too, Pete. Pete Way has been our special guest. Pete Way of UFO, and check out his solo project coming out in 2015, produced by Mike Klink of Guns N' Roses fame, I should say, and Pete Way, a survivor.
Yeah, but he's also got the shame of actually producing Eye of a Tiger.
Oh, hey, that was a very successful record. Let's,
I know, but the shame of
The shame of Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. And
yes, but we're poor old Mike. I shouldn't have said that. He'd have paid me not to say it. But anyway, nonetheless.
The shame of making millions of dollars for somebody with Eye of a Tiger. Pete Way has been our special guest. Pete, thank you.
Frank, it's been great, actually. It's great to be in Long Island in spirit, even if not in person. But we'll do this again when I'm over or once the album's out. And if I do an interview with
you... Part 2.
That way, you see, you won't want to slate it. You'll give it the benefit of the doubt and go, I expect I'll like it next time I listen to it.
Pete Way, everyone, thanks for listening. Frank McKay for breaking it down. Pete Way has been our guest. We will see you next time.